Old Navy's saying thank you with big fall savings. Get 30% off your purchase right now. And if you use your Old Navy card, you'll get 40% off your purchase. Run to Old Navy today. Valid 10-12 to 10-16. 40% offer subject to credit approval. See store for details and exclusions.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to IWPN Radio. Today, my guest host is Evan Williams from the Wine Guild of Charlottesville. Hey, Evan, say hello to everybody.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing today?
Super. Our today's episode is going to focus on the Wine Guild. We're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to go into the tasting event that they'll be holding tomorrow night right here in Charlottesville. And the focus of tomorrow night's event will be on Burgundy. There'll be five wines from that region, and Evan and I will be talking a little bit about those wines. So, Evan, just for the audience, give them a little bit of a background about yourself and a little bit about the Wine Guild.
Sure. Well, I've been in the wine industry for over a decade now, and I really got interested in it after taking a class at PVCC a while back. And I worked at a shop here in town, and then some friends and I got together and decided, why not start this club? And here we are. You know, our motto at the Wine Guild has always been more people drinking better wine more often, and that's really what we strive for. I mean, sure, we give our members a huge discount off of normal retail, which is great. But I think you can ask any member why they love the Guild, and they will be able to tell you it's the community that we foster, and really the wines that we bring to the table. I've established so many great relationships and friendships through the Guild over the years, and I know I'm not alone. And there's also the wine. I taste hundreds of wines every month and pick just a small handful of the ones that stand out to me to bring to our members. There's just so much wine out there, and I really take the guesswork out of that and sift through it to find the real gems.
Well, I got to tell you, as a member of the Wine Guild myself, I can tell the audience what Evan is saying is absolutely true. And one of the, I think, the better things as a member that I experience, as well as what Evan just said, is when you go into a wine shop, typically you'll see a wine sitting on the shelf, and you know, whatever the price is, you sit there and scratch your head and say, you know, is that worth the money? And what ends up happening is when you go to a Wine Guild tasting event, you can actually taste the wine and say, hey, you know, I like the first one. I'm not crazy about the second one. I love the third one, and so on. And you then can actually submit an order to the Wine Guild. So with that kind of in mind, Evan, you gave a little bit of background, but, you know, tell the audience how they can experience the Wine Guild and how they can get involved.
Well, the first thing I'd say is follow us on Facebook. We're the Wine Guild of Charlottesville. You can contact us that way. Or just come to the tasting. We're at 606 Ravana Avenue. All the details are on the Facebook page as well. But we start at 5:30 tomorrow evening, and come bring friends, and we'll see you there.
And again, to support what Evan is saying, is it is simple as that. Some of us become members, like I have. It's almost like a cooperative, if you will. And other people just come and go as they please. There is a tasting fee if you're not a member. But if you know a member, you can come as their guest. But it's a terrific, there is a real sense of community. And besides wine, there's a lot of food. This week's tasting event, I think, is going to be a special one because naturally Burgundy wines are very special. But can you tell our wine-loving listeners what they can expect if they come join us at a tasting event? And, I mean, you know, more like the specifics of when they walk through the door, Evan.
Sure. Well, I think anybody will tell you that's been to one of these things is that they're a blast. And there's a ton of people there. And you usually see somebody you know. You get to talk to a distributor, rep, or a winemaker, or an importer about the wines. But really, we've got an event space that's set up for tasting the wine and also ordering food. So you'll come in the door, and if you're not a member or a guest, you'll pay the tasting fee, which is absolutely worth it considering how much wine you're getting. But yes, you'll get a wine at the door. The first wine will be poured at the door when you walk in, and then you'll proceed back to one of the tasting bars that are set up that, again, typically have a rep that's involved with the wine, either a winemaker or an importer or something like that. And you can taste through all the wines. You'll get a tasting sheet so you can make notes of your own. And it's just that simple. And then if you want to go back and taste something again, no problem at all. And you can also order food, cheese, et cetera. Additionally, we can sell you bottles of wine at the event for you to drink there or take home. So if you want to just grab a bottle to have with your dinner, that's completely possible too. And we've got a little bit of a wine shop in the office for you to buy bottles and take home with you if you want.
So again, as a member, I can tell you what Evan just said is exactly what happens. And each event has a different focus, but each event will follow the same kind of routine. And, you know, where Evan said that you'll go back to one of the bars and you can, you know, sometimes there's a winemaker, sometimes it's the distributor or importer. And often those people know a lot more, you know, obviously if it's the winemaker, they come from there. But if it's an importer distributor, often they've been to these specific places and can give you some real detailed information. One of the things I always enjoy is I'm staying there tasting wine, and I often come with my wife and sometimes with some friends of ours. But sometimes they'll have a slideshow going, and you see some of the most fascinating images of the area, of the region. Moving the show along, obviously, you know, as this week is the Burgundy region, and the more knowledgeable wine drinkers probably already know that some of the most expensive wines in the world comes from this part of France. Yet there are really many high quality, reasonably priced wines that come from Burgundy. You don't need to spend $1,000 on a DRC. There are some great, as we will review later, some even Premier Cru wines that come for that are much more reasonably priced. So, you know, in your experience, Evan, what is some of the most misunderstood aspects of Burgundy?
Well, Mark, I think you just hit the nail on the head there. The biggest misconception that I see among people that really don't have a whole lot of experience with Burgundy is that you have to spend a lot of money to get great wine, and that there aren't values out there, or there aren't really good values. And just tasting through the wines for this event alone, I can tell you that that's not true. You know, you can get great Premier Cru wine for, you know, $20, $30, $40, but you can also get really like village level stuff for not a lot of money that's really delicious. For example, I know we're going to go into this in a little bit, but the Matro Morange Premier Cru, or it's not Premier Cru, it's Old Vines, that we're tasting tomorrow is around $20. And the amount of complexity and layering and just real composure that you get for that money is astounding. And I think that most people think that that's not really the case. And we're here to show you different.
I'm really looking forward to the Burgundy taste. And for those people who are new to wine and maybe want to get interested, this is a great way to do it. And again, there's so much to learn about wine, but just for the basics, all of what we'll be tasting tomorrow are Chardonnay, and we're going to go into how different the Chardonnays are, or a Pinot Noir. Before we get into the specifics of the wine, Evan, I want to just ask you one more question because it's something that, especially if we've intrigued some people into coming, something about a future event. Yesterday, or actually a few days ago, I had dropped into the Wine Guild to pick up some of the online wine specials. Evan mentioned that it's not just what's being, if you remember, it's not just what's being tasted at the tasting events, but you actually get some terrific emails on some terrific wines that Evan finds for us. But one of his, well, his partner told me about a new style of event that they are working on for November, and it's going to be a Spanish wine dinner. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I think a lot of people will be really interested in that new venue or that new kind of event that you're talking about doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a relatively new concept for the area. I know it's been done a little bit in bigger cities, but I really haven't seen it around here. It was born out of the fact that so many of these wine dinners that you see, the biggest hurdle is the price. Even personally, you know, when I see a wine dinner that's $100-$125 a person, that's a lot for me to throw down on a Tuesday night. And so what we've been talking about is trying to lower that barrier to entry so that you really don't have to commit $300 for a couple just to go out to a wine dinner and experience these wines paired with the right food. So what we're talking about is having an initial tasting where you would pay a really affordable amount. We haven't worked out all the details yet, but you would pay this to come in and taste through a pretty good lineup of wines. We've been through all the wines and they're all fantastic. And it'll be paired, every wine will be paired with either meats or cheeses. I mean, this being Spain, you know, you're talking about chorizo and just a really great lineup of pairings for it. Now, in addition to that, you have the option to move on to a more formal, not quite formal, but a more traditional style of dinner where you're sitting down. It will still look like more of a communal set up rather than assigned seating kind of thing, because
like
that was
family,
the other thing that,
that
people have told us and that I've experienced too, is that, you know, when you go into one of these things and you have assigned seating and that's your seat for the night and you can't get up and talk to the person at the other end of the table, it's kind of confining. And I know personally we've had just with our friends, we've had some events through the Wine Guild that are, you know, really informal things, but you know, getting a bunch of guys together and sitting down and having family style and being able to get up and walk around and talk to other people and not being stuck in that seat all night, I think it makes it a little more casual and a lot more fun in my experience. And so that's what we're focused on, is A, lowering the barrier to entry to get into these things, and B, making it a little more casual, a little more fun. And the again, the dinner part of it, the formal dinner part of it, you don't have to do it. It's an option at the after you're done with the initial part of it. But I think that, you know, once you taste through all these wines, you'll want to sit down with a meal and get through them.
I think that's going to be really exciting, and so much so that I really wanted to bring it up, even though that's a few weeks or more away. Let's get into the wines that are going to be served tomorrow night. There are two whites and three reds. And the first one is Chablis. Again, for anybody who knows Chardonnay from California, what we're talking about is substantially different. This first producer that Evan is going to talk about, I believe, started in the 1850s. So they've been around for a very, very long time. And the technique and the style is substantially different. So, Evan, why don't you talk about Louis Michel's first wine?
Sure. Now, Chablis is one of my favorite regions personally, just because it really gives you a pure, clear view of what Chardonnay can do and what it can do in this particular type of soil. Now, it's a lot of Jurassic and Kimmeridgian soil. So the areas we visited there last summer, and we went into a cellar of a winemaker, and they had part of the ground cut away so you could see what the layers look like underneath the vineyards. And it's astounding. There's a lot of chalk, but it also used to be under the ocean. So there are shells everywhere. It's a very terroir-driven winemaking process there. So what you're seeing are these wines that have a steely edge to them, a lot of stoniness, minerality, and a lot of times no oak at all. I mean, you start to see oak treatment when you get up into maybe Grand Cru, Chablis, maybe some Premier Crus, but honestly, personally, I've tended to love the Premier Cru and Village level stuff more than a lot of the Grand Cru stuff, because the oak in a lot of cases is distracting just from the striking presence of these wines. And this wine in particular is, this producer is new to me in the past year, but I've really enjoyed it. It's a refreshing sort of citrus driven wine that is balanced, and it has a lot of tartness, a little bit of richness, but you're not distracted by the winemaking, the hand of the winemaker, as they say. And this wine really is all about the terroir.
It does sound exciting. The next wine that we're going to talk about is another Chardonnay, but where the first one was from within the Chablis region, this is more in the mainstream of the Burgundy region, and where Chablis is really basically all whites. This is this region. It's really about halfway between Beaune and the lower part of Burgundy. So again, why don't you please tell us about the Matron Burgundy, the Blanc?
So Matron has been a favorite producer of mine for years. They represent great values just from their basic Bourgogne all the way up to some of their Premier Cru, Grand Cru stuff. This wine in particular is, as you said, it stands in stark contrast to the Chablis. Chablis is all the way up north, outside of the Côte d'Or proper. And this comes from right outside of Marceau, which is in the Côte de Beaune, the southern part of Burgundy. And you see a little bit of a fatter style of wine, if I can say that. It's got more weight to it. It's richer. It's softer on the palate, and it really has a little bit of a sort of a more crowd pleasing kind of style to it. Whereas some people just don't really love that bracing style that Chablis can bring to you. This is a much more open and giving style of wine. And Marceau is almost all white in and around the town of Marceau, which we stayed in last summer. You can find a little bit of red, but everything from this area, in particular the Hill of Marceau, really produces stunning Chardonnays that drink way, way above the price level that they come in at, simply because, people a lot of times are drawn towards some of the bigger names like Charlemagne, Corton, Charlemagne, et cetera. And this is not far away from like Montrachet and things of that nature that command a lot of money in a lot of cases. And even Marceau, the wines inside of Marceau proper command a lot of money in a lot of cases. And this is just, it's almost like a declassified Marceau, I would say, because it has a little bit of that almondine quality that I love out of Marceau. But it's, again, under $20, which is pretty astounding.
Again, for the folks that are listening to all this, one of the things that I hope you gather pretty quickly is if you attend these events, there's a lot of knowledgeable people, especially Evan and his partner, Michael Davis, and plus the producers and the distributors and the importers that are there. So if you're new to wine...
Well, in this case, just to expand on that a little bit, tomorrow we'll have we've been trying to get him for a long time to come down and do a tasting with us. His name is Olivier Lottery, and he's the manager of the Vineyard Brands portfolio, which is the importer. So he knows these wines front and back. And he'll be able to tell you more than you'd ever want to know about them if you give him the chance. And he'll also be there with the distributor rep, who she knows a ton about these wines as well. She's super knowledgeable. And really, if you give them the time, they'll tell you everything you want to know.
Cool. All right, moving along, we're going to talk about the first red that are going to be poured tomorrow night, Mouchard Monoré. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
It's Monoré Monoré, and okay. this is one of my my favorite producers in all of Burgundy, and this is one of my favorite wines that they make. This one in particular is from Savigny-le-Bon, which is just south of the city of Beaune, not far from the hill of Carton. Not far from Merceau, which we just talked about. And it's a, in Beaune, you have a little bit more softer style of wine than you can get from the Côte d'Ivoire in the north. And this wine it ages particularly well, but it shows well when it's young too, which I find some Burgundies it's famous for this. They go down into what I call a sleeping phase where, 3 or 4 years into sitting in your cellar, they just shut down. And if you were to open a bottle, it's like a completely different wine. It's not giving. It's a strange process. And certain wines go through it a lot more than others. And these Pinots go through that probably more than any other. But, man, I've had this wine. I bought a ton of it from the 06 and 09 vintages, which were excellent, and it just keeps giving. I opened some up when I first got it, and I still have a bunch. And it's a definitely a big style for Burgundy, just relative to a lot of the sort of softer, more elegant styles. This packs a punch, and it's why I really love it in any vintage. It gives you a little bit more. You don't have to suss out the details. It's not, I wouldn't say obvious, but it's a lot more giving, and you really get a lot of spice on this wine, and a lot of structure. But I'm telling you, if you have the patience to lay it down, for instance, the 06s right now are just drinking so well, and it only gets better. So, this particular vineyard is, again, one of my favorite bottlings in Burgundy.
Cool. All right, so the fourth wine that there is going to be poured, another Matro, and this is an old vine. And real quick, again, the reds are all going to be Pinot Noirs, for those who may not understand. But give them a little sense, Evan, if you will, because if you're not into wine, you may not understand what an old vine vineyard produces. So can you give them a little insight into that? And when you speak about this Matro?
Sure, you bet. Again, Matro is one of my favorite producers in the Beaune as well. But what happens with vines, as they grow older, they really mature and produce, in a lot of cases, more complex, more mature wine. Simply because it's the roots have had time to really go down into the soil and in the search of water. And as the vines get bigger, they're just, they produce, again, in a lot of cases, better wine. This one in particular, is from Morange, which Morange is it's about as south as you can get in Burgundy proper before you get into the Mâcon and the Loire, and it's a real soft style of wine. Again, as I said, the bone produces softer wines when it comes to the reds. And this one, I can tell you right now, it's going to be my new go-to Pinot. I mean, it's a very elegant style. It's not got a lot of edges to it. It's very giving and gentle and has good spice, a lot of red fruit, and enough structure to stand up to food, which is always really important. But this, what blew my mind was the price on this wine. You know, some of Metro's wines can get pretty pricey, but to see this wine around $20 was, I mean, like I said, it's my new go-to. So
again, I'm already salivating just listening to you talking about it. All right, we're gonna do one more wine and then we'll wrap up for those who are listening. Nuit Saint George is the last one. Henri Gouache, I believe is pronounced. And when I was doing a little research on this, I know we're going to be tasting the 2012 tomorrow night, but the for the audience, the 2011 was the fifth highest rated wine in this area by Wine Spectator. So it comes highly regarded, the 11s, and I'm sure the 12s won't be far behind. So why don't you tell us about this one, Evan?
So Henri Gouache has been one of the big names up in the New St. George area for a long time. I don't remember how exactly old they are, but it's an established house, and they really, what more can you say other than they don't make bad wine. Even in tough vintages, I try their stuff, and I'm always astounded at how consistent they are. As I mentioned earlier, the wines up in the Nuit area, which is the northern half of the Côte d'Or, produce structured wines. I mean, that's really where you get your big $1,000 bottles and all the Grand Cru stuff. This will have more structure, more edges, more tannic grit to it. But you know, for somebody that may not have had a lot of Pinot Noir or a lot of Burgundy in particular, these are still wines of elegance. When I say that it's got weight and heft to it and structure and tannic grit, it's still eons below what you'd find in a California Cab or something like that, or a big Malbec. It's still light. It's still elegant. But relative to the wines from the South, this is going to be a bigger wine. It's going to be one that it'll be showing well right now, but man, if you give it some time in your cellar or even just decant it, we're going to try and decant ours tomorrow just to let it air out and open up a little bit. But it is a real structure-driven wine that will age for a long time. And it's priced as such. I mean, you are paying for this wine. It's not cheap by any means. But having had old Gouache wines, you know, the Will Ritchie, who started this, started the Wine Guild with us. You know, he's pulled out some really old Gouache from his cellar that he bought long ago, and it's always stunning how great it is. So. You know, again, if you have the space and you have the patience, it will reward you in 10 or 15 years.
That's one of the keys, having the patience. My wife and I have gotten to putting on the back of a bottle, do not open before X years. And we'll put the year on there. Evan, thank you very much for your time today. I hope the listening audience have learned a lot, but also I hope those in the Charlottesville area have gotten excited by what we're saying. And because I know personally, I've met a lot of people in the last year and a half or so who even have grown up here who still don't know yet about the Wine Guild. It's a fascinating, fantastic opportunity to try wines, and as you can tell, if you get involved in the group, you'll learn a lot. I want to thank you very much, Evan. I want to thank our audience. Before we sign off, why don't you give the one more time to the audience, if they're interested, how they can come experience this.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure, Mark. Thank you so much for having me on today. So if you visit our Facebook page, Wine Guild of Charlottesville, or you can email at us at wineguildcville@gmail.com, and we'll get right back to you. There are a lot of ways. We also have a website, wineguildcville.com. There are really a lot of ways to contact us, but the most fun would be coming out tomorrow night and experiencing Burgundy. And, you know, even if you don't join up right away, you can get on our mailing list and really get a sneak peek into what I'm offering out. You know, I send out 2-3 emails a week of my selections, and it's really a curated list. Like I said, I taste a lot of wine, and these are my absolute favorites. So you can get on that list and purchase from that, you know, without the member discount, of course. But a lot of people like to get, you know, just get their toes wet and see what the Guild is all about. And coming to a tasting and getting on our mailing list is one of the best ways to do that.
That's fantastic. Evan, again, thank you very much. And to our audience, I wish you all well and hope we'll see you tomorrow night. Evan, say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. It's been great talking to you today.
Take care, audience. And until